This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio, ringing in 2026 on a winning note, at least for us last night with Ole Miss. It was a rough start to the day, though, for us as we were backing some dogs yesterday. Alabama did not come through, and certainly Texas Tech. What was that? That was the big news of yesterday. We have got a lot to get to here in this final hour in the program today before we turn it over to Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin for a numbers game, but when you look at week number 18 of the NFL, I mean, I get a little bit melancholy. We'll get to our best bets here that we have. I mean, it is, you blink an eye, and it's upon us already. For the final time in the regular season, and you can use this now, you mentioned incentives out there, maybe different ways to look at for guys that we think might find pay dirt, and that's where we begin today's edition of the Red Alert.
Two captains, one mission, anytime touchdowns. Welcome to Red Alert.
You know, last year, Saquon Barkley had an historic season. It really was. It was as good as you're going to see from a running back all the way, obviously, through the regular season into the postseason and the Super Bowl. The Falcons aren't going to be going to the playoffs this year. But Bijan Robinson, quiet as kept, his numbers, and I know they were on display against the Rams last week on Monday Night Football, the numbers are staggering, Jensen. Do you think he is a prime candidate to find the end zone this week?
Again, that Atlanta-New Orleans game could mean so much. And remember, Atlanta, when they've been mathematically eliminated the last 10 years, Dave, they're a juggernaut. They're 12-4 straight up. I don't think for a moment that they don't want to play through the finish line for Raheem Morris. And so Bijan makes an anytime touchdown parlay. Devon Achane, and just remember, appreciate Joe Friso getting the update for us here. Has had that shoulder issue that he has been dealing with, did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday. So monitor that if you want to wait to try and put in this three-leg parlay. If he's out of there, I still do like Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. Obviously, the Lions and the Bears tangling on Sunday. Still a lot to play for with Chicago. Don't think for a moment that Detroit does not want to try and spoil that potential two seed as well. So at minimum, Dave, first one here for Red Alert, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, anytime touchdown parlay. If Achane is active, I do like adding him as a third leg.
You know, I'm the only thing about Gibbs, I just go, what's happened to this Lions running game? So, like, that's the one guy, ironically, Jensen, out of the three that concerns me, because I don't know what's happened. That's the thing I was banking on with the Lions all year. We talk about doing that kind of mental review of what we've seen. That has failed me with the Lions in their run game here down the stretch. That's for sure. One guy, though, that I don't question is their talented receiver. A guy plays hurt. He plays through anything, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown. He made your card this week. What do you like there?
Yeah, I just, again, situationally here with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and we talked a lot just about Jakobi Meyers making both our Bet the Builds on FanDuel and DraftKings. It has just been an incredible rapport with Trevor Lawrence and Jakobi Meyers. He has been basically wide receiver one and then some for Jacksonville. And so with Jacksonville highly motivated against one of the worst teams in all of football in the Tennessee Titans, you know that Liam Cohen and company want to leave no doubt, do not want Tennessee hanging around with a chance to clinch the AFC South title. So again, very similar ideas here, Dave. The Lions trying to spoil the party with the Bears. So Amon-Ra St. Brown with the volume in and of its own right. I think he finds pay dirt as well as Jakobi Meyers. That anytime touchdown parlay, just north of our running back parlay at plus 362.
Okay, you've got one that definitely piques my attention. And you're looking at a couple guys that maybe can use their legs to get into the end zone here. One I totally get, and the other one, it feels sneaky to me. The one that I'll let you tell the people you have first, and then I'll tell you which one I go, wow, I didn't see that, but it does make some sense.
All right, so one that is probably the obvious that you're talking about is Trevor Lawrence. And it's just because,
yes,
and even as of late, right, he has been using his legs, and especially in the red zone, he has had no problem whatsoever just tucking it and run. So I team Trevor Lawrence with your sneaky idea, and it's Drake May of the Patriots. Think about where the narrative is. All that group has been hearing is, oh, Drake May's played a soft schedule, blah, 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 blah. There's going to be part of them that wants to make – not only the closing argument, but this is your final audition for that MVP race. And so the rushing touchdown, you know, just to add, you're looking to diversify the portfolio. Matthew Stafford isn't going to be running anything in. Drake May might be. So this is a juicy little plus 828 anytime touchdown parlay. If you have some bonus bets still remaining in your accounts out there, this one might be a fun one to throw it on.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at for sneaky, right? That when you start to break down the MVP numbers and you look at the rushing with the four rushing touchdowns and the over 400 yards rushing compared to, I think, negative two for Stafford, we should not discount that here. And that would be a statement, right? If he ran in another one for a fifth touchdown and a big spike into the camera, you know, to have that Heisman moment that we're always looking for in college, maybe that could be that for Drake May. And I do think that is very sneaky. By the way, before the lines move, and they move each and every week, the sharp plays, they're already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. And the NFL playoffs are where the limits rise and mistakes shrink. And timing matters more than ever. So you're not going to outsmart those billion-dollar sportsbooks full-time sharps on your own. Sharp plays, you don't have to worry about all that. They're powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, locked into the NFL playoffs big time. Sharp plays is going to help you identify where the sharp money is hitting before the numbers actually disappear. So you're going to get free daily reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, delivered straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been around the block since 2011, backed it all up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. Sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros and monitored by the books. So stay ahead of the line moves this postseason. Visit sharpplays.com. Let's take a look here at for week number 18. And that big one on Sunday night, of course, is the Ravens and the Steelers. Jensen, even with the news that the great eight, two-time league MVP, is going to be under center, the number has not moved. Still sitting at 3.5.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter for me. And I wanted to get for just as clarity purposes, at least from a starting perspective, would it be Lamar? Would it be Tyler Huntley? I don't know if this number changes really at all in the spread. The total has been intriguing, though, to see a lot of the money coming in on the under here. So is that more so? Well, the offense really has not been a well-oiled machine with Lamar Jackson. It looked a heck of a lot better just a week ago with what Snoop Huntley and Derrick Henry were doing. Is this your age-old tale that we've seen when these two teams get together, that offense has been at a premium? It's been tough to score. It's like that first team to 20 wins this game. I told you earlier in the week, I stand by what I said. I think only one team gets to 20 points, and I think that's the Baltimore Ravens. So I think I'm going to get to the window laying the 3.5 here. May get on the total, but I think Baltimore finds a way through and they become the AFC North champions.
You know that when I'm watching these games, watching these teams and coaches in specific, sometimes I'm looking for things, especially when things are not going well, whether or not you're going to wave that flag. And my buddy, Brian McFadden, played for the Steelers, won a couple Super Bowls there, two-time Super Bowl champion, used to say, obviously their slogan in Pittsburgh is the standard. And that doesn't change. Doesn't change if you're winning, doesn't change if you're, the standard is the standard. I bring that up in relation to Dan Campbell, because if you go back to the last game Aaron Rodgers ever played as a member of the Green Bay Packers, it was a game where if they won the game at home at Lambeau Field and beat the upstart Dan Campbell Detroit Lions back then, they were not a playoff team. Packers are going to the playoffs. Lions went in there, wrecked their Sunday night, wrecked their season, and won it. A couple years later, here's Dan Campbell. Similar situation, nothing to play for. Getting three against the Bears, divisional rival on the road, still have a lot to play for if you're the Bears. Is the standard still the standard for Dan Campbell, and they go out there and act like this still has a lot to play on the line?
Man, a lot has changed in just a year's time, right? And to me, I would rather err on the team that just showed me so much in what should have been a win in Sunday Night Football. I mean, you can make a lot of arguments that the Bears at the end there, if Caleb ends up rolling maybe the opposite way, he's got an opportunity to punch that in, and it's a walk-off touchdown for the Chicago Bears. We are going to lay the three in millions, and I think if you can find threes, I would get it now. I do believe that Ben Johnson in this bounce-back spot, I think they're going to find a way to get it done at home. They know what's on the line. It's not just the wild card round, Dave. It's also guaranteeing at least the home game in the divisional round and what they hope is a preamble to getting to the NFC title game. So I like laying the three here. I think the Bears get it done. I do think it is still tightly contested because you said there's a lot of pride, one pride there with the Detroit Lions. I just like this offense And the way that the Bears defense has been taking the ball away, how many times have we watched Jared Goff make some just ridiculous throws or give up some spots? I think the Bears create a couple of turnovers and they get this one home.
Tend to agree. I'm with you. I think I'd rather be on the Bears side here and lay the three, and not saying that Dan Campbell's going to quit, but maybe that team subliminally knows, boy, our shot, it was done last week. We talked about it with Thomas Gable. Go back wherever you get your podcast, listen, like, subscribe, VSiN by the books. And I asked him about the Eagles. Are they taking money there? And he said, not really. Right now, this is a game that if the Eagles kind of are not really that interested potentially winning, they're going to bench their guys. We know it's going to be Tanner McKee at quarterback here for the Eagles. You're going up against Josh Johnson. There's your Week 18 matchup for the Commanders and the Eagles. That Jensen, sometimes you know me, I don't like to bet on teams if I feel like they don't care if they win or lose. So I don't know that that's where I want to put my money or lay the 4.5 here with Philadelphia.
Again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, one of the great trends here for Week 18, Steve Mackinnon illuminating that at VSiN.com. The Commanders are active in this spot as an underdog going up against a team that is resting their starters. And so you get an extra hook here at circa plus 4.5. Jump out, grab the Commanders. Can Josh Johnson do it? Nearly pulled the trick on Christmas Day against the Cowboys. Perhaps he does it against the backups in Philadelphia.
When we come back, we'll continue with our Week 18 slate. Can Matty Stafford actually win the MVP and maybe even the pass yards number here? And also breaking news out of the Giants. Going to have an update on their head coaching search. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue our preview of week number 18 in the NFL. Nick Whalen's going to join the program in the next segment. His Jaguars, ever since they went on the bye, they haven't lost. I wonder if they can still wrap up this division, potentially a still one seed in the AFC. We'll talk about that and then some with Nick. I mentioned going to break here that we do have some breaking news. This comes to us from Adam Schefter, and he says the Giants are expected to cast a wide head coaching interview list. That includes Big Mike. Mike McCarthy, Chris Shula, doing a great job at the Rams right now. Former Raiders head coach and former Giant, by the way, Antonio Pierce. So those are three names on the shortlist. I'll say this as a Mike McCarthy stan, if you will. Guy won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, and they didn't win anything without him once he left. And they ran him out because he was the problem. You know, they needed to win more. That never happened post-Mike McCarthy, right? He went to Dallas and cleaned up some things in Dallas. They won 12 games in Dallas. 4 straight years with Big Mike as head coach. So I will just say this for Mike McCarthy. You can do worse than a Mike McCarthy. Can you win the whole thing with them? Debatable, but he has done that, Jensen. Then you can go to the young guy, which would be the Chris Shula type thing. And then the Antonio Pierce. And I know it ended poorly with the Raiders, but I do think that Antonio Pierce will have learned a lot from being maybe a little bit too much too soon the first go around. I wouldn't scoff at that interview process of Antonio Pierce as potentially being a guy to get back to that position.
Yeah, doing due diligence, right? And also understanding, you know, what have you seen? What do you like? What do you not like? I do feel that, you know, some of these interviews are just that. They're fact-finding missions. How would you operate? What would your roster construction be like? What's your draft strategy? Things of that nature. But it is going to be unique. These are not only the available candidates, but what we eventually get here on Sunday night, mm-hmm. Monday morning, what does that availability and who is in that availability market. I know you and I talked about what may happen here in Cleveland. Could you imagine Kevin Stefanski getting another lease on life going to the Giants with Jackson Dart, the creativity he has, a competent defense he has in Cleveland? He would at least have that going into the Giants. So anxious to see what eventually that number gets to once we get to Black Monday.
I overstated my Mike McCarthy praise. Three straight years of 12 wins in a row. Back then, they still were playing 16 to begin it before we went to 17-week schedules. And then over the course of those 5 years, did go 49-35. So 14 games over 500, not too shabby, with some down years there at the beginning, at the end in Dallas. But again, I think you could do a lot worse than Mike McCarthy if you're looking for an adult in the room. Let's stay there and wrap it up here with the Cowboys and the Giants this weekend, since we're talking about the former Cowboy head coach potentially being the Giants' new head coach. I don't think Mike Kafka, I do think he was given a legit shot to see what he could do when you fire Brian Daboll the way they did and when they did it. But I don't think we have any visions of grandeur here. Nice win last week against the Raiders. Yeah, it might cost them here when it comes to the NFL draft. What about for Brian Schottenheimer and company? I mean, look, selfishly, I need an eighth win to get over my season win total of 7.5 for the Cowboys. Anything left to play for? Do you think it's Dak Prescott? Let's go out there and throw for 300 yards and win that passing crown.
Boy, that's motivation enough if you are Dallas and know that there is still a lot of those incentives that are out there for a handful of guys. As far as where it goes, I think both organizations, you know, even with Brian Schottenheimer, we've said this probably the last third of the season, to get the guys to continue to play the way they have, that does go towards coaching and being able to motivate. And that has to stand for something. You obviously want to win the last game of the year and at least feel like you've got momentum headed into the offseason. I think there is a uniqueness about where the Giants are too, is it's not just about, you know, finishing strong on tape. Is whoever does come in, they're going to want to look and see, even for an interim guy, how did you play? And did you finish out the string? Did you do what you needed to do to take advantage of every opportunity?
And maybe the last opportunity for Jackson Dart, if he's going to get back in the rookie of the year conversation. I mean, it seems like a long shot at this point, but this would be the last audition to do just that. I mentioned winning the passing yards crown. Right now, Dak Prescott leads Matthew Stafford to do that. We don't know how long Matthew Stafford will play out in the other desert against the Cardinals. Rather, this one's going to be at SoFi here. So 7-point favorites against Arizona. Arizona, what's happened there? Like, I look at Jonathan Gannon, and I'm surprised it's imploded the way it has. I don't know if he's going to be a casualty come Black Monday next week as well out there in the other desert. But the handicap here, how long will the starters play for the Rams? I think that's what we're looking at.
It may not matter because even if you get Jimmy G and company coming in, I still think that the Rams have a great chance to cover that 7.5. I mean, Arizona, credit where it's due, man. Jacoby Brissett and company for a while at least tried to hang as tough as they could. But you want to talk about a defense that has suffered injury after injury. We look at the Bengals being the worst in the league. I mean, the Cardinals aren't far behind them. So do the Rams put this as far out of reach without leaving the back door open? I tend to think they do, Dave. So it wouldn't shock me if this is a 9, maybe a 10-point victory for the Rams and a comfortable win to finish off their regular season.
I mean, it's not a coincidence when you look at all the divisional matchups that you have to round out week number 18. This is the way the league wants it, right? So we've been talking about the high-profile games with the Buccaneers and the Panthers and the Seahawks, of course, and the Niners. But that professional pride for the Chargers against the Broncos. And I know right now, if you're Jim Harbaugh, it's like, well, it really doesn't matter to us. It matters a lot to Denver to get that one seed. So Denver, you're going to have to lay a big number here with the Broncos. Is there any part of Jim Harbaugh that says, you know, let's see what Trey Lance can do. Let's see if we could. We're still going to try to go win the game. Boy, we'd love to do that with our backups against their starters. Any chance that they could go 2 mile high and pull off a shocker with backups?
It wouldn't shock me in so much that you kind of nailed it. Coaching does a lot. And remember, it's their chance. This might be it for some of these guys to be able to prove, yeah, I'm not only a competent NFL player, but if it's not here next year, then it may need to be somewhere else. So, yeah, if I'm going to take a shot, on a double-digit spread this week, yeah, yep. It's probably the Chargers. And I just think, again, divisional game, familiarity, there's a lot to like there about where the motivated part of the Chargers are. Yes, the Broncos will be motivated, but at the same time, I go back to coaching, and I do think that if there was a team that has had a tendency to let some teams hang around, the Broncos have kind of let teams hang around. And so not to say that Denver won't win this game, but man, 12.5, that's a lot to lay. I'm with you. If I'm going to take a stab, I would take a stab at the Chargers plus 12.5.
Especially with that low total of 37.5. We're not expecting a lot of points. So just to blindly lay that 12.5, I do think I'm with you. If there's a double-digit dog that I'd look at, it would be the Chargers in this spot. One other game, I love the Jags, and we're going to talk about this with Nick Whalen coming up. But the one thing that's sticking in the back of my mind here is Mike McCoy for the Tennessee Titans and the job that he's done since taking over for Brian Callahan. And I've said it on this program, I'll say it again. I think if you're objectively looking at pairing an interim guy with to potentially get that full-time tag with Cam Ward, it might be there in Tennessee. This is the last audition spot for Mike McCoy, if he even wants the job to be the full-time guy. I would assume he would. What do we make of that? Everything to play for Jacksonville. The number keeps going up, up, up. 13.5. Cam Ward has been throwing 2 touchdown passes here, I believe, over the last 5 games. So you're getting something out of the number one pick in the draft from a year ago. Is this, are we overlooking what the Titans have become later in the year?
Not necessarily. And I like where you're at. I just think Jacksonville's offense is going to be too much. I don't know if Tennessee can score enough to stay within that spread. And we're going to lay the 13 in the contest here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Something to think about, Dave, from the incentives. And it's a big one on the Tennessee side. Tony Pollard is in contention. If he gets 2 more rushing touchdowns, he gets $250,000 Ooh. Bonus. He also needs just 66 rush yards to get to 1,100 on the season. That's also another $250,000. Right now on DraftKings, Tony Pollard, 12-1 to get 2 anytime touchdowns. Now that's anytime, okay? It has to be specifically rush touchdowns for this contract clause. But if you want to take a shot and say, yeah, they're going to give him every opportunity to do it, well, that's a nice little juicy 12-1 price there. On DraftKings, his total right now on the over under for the rush yards is 66.5. So again, the market looking at that contract incentive, it's a juice to $1.12 on both sides from what I'm seeing. So if you want to play a little parlay here, if you think he gets all the way home, Dave, for the 2 touchdowns and he gets the over 66.5, that's 14-1 for a contract incentive to hit for 500K.
You know, I mentioned it with Antonio Pierce getting another look here as potentially a second head coaching gig. Same thing could be true for Brian Callahan. Sometimes these coaches are not ready the first time around. He didn't look ready for this one in Tennessee. Mike McCoy has looked ready. He's picked up the pieces pretty darn well down here in Nashville. Nick Whalen is going to join the program next, talk more about those Jags. Are they really a player in the second season? We'll discuss next right here. VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this second day of the new year. Always love catching up with our guy, Nick Whalen. Does a great job on RotoWire as a senior analyst there. Does a great job here in the network. Give him a follow on X at Whalen with the number one. Smack dab right in the middle of the name. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Happy New Year to you, Nick. And I asked you during the break, with the Jaguars in this run that they're on, did they not want 2025 to end? Can they turn the page and not have any changes from the end of an incredible November into December?
I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because this has been pretty easily the best 2-month stretch of Jaguars fanhood, at least that I've been, you know, sentient for. I guess I was technically alive, you know, when they made their run back in 99. Obviously we had the, you know, the Miles Jack year against New England, but that year always felt a little fluky. I think that was 2017, right? Where it's like they're winning these games defensively. It's Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette and you know, Allen Robinson carrying this offense. Like, this feels a little bit more legitimate to me. And, you know, as we've talked about all season, guys, nothing has really changed as far as, you know, a true, this is the team to beat emerging in the AFC. That was the case a month ago. It's the case heading into week 18. It still feels completely wide open to me. You know, Jacksonville has shown that they can go on the road and beat the team that's likely to be the number one seed in that conference. You know, I think everybody respects the New England Patriots at this point. I don't think anybody views New England as unbeatable. So if I'm, you know, as Jacksonville, as Houston, even the Chargers, the Bills, I think all these teams, despite not being the one or two seed in the AFC, feel pretty good about their chances to make a run. You know, guys, I'm trying to avoid going all in and getting my hopes up with this team, but it's hard not to right now. I think there is a case to be made that they are perhaps somehow the best two-way team in the AFC.
Yeah, and Nick, we were kind of ahead of the curve about a month and a half ago, and it might have coincided right with where you were on this fine program that we started to tell people you might want to buy some stock now because the number's only going to plummet, and here we sit today. The Jags are plus 550 to win the AFC on DraftKings. Let me zoom out and let me ask you, if there was a team, if you're not involved either in an AFC conference or an NFC conference futures market yet, is there a team or two, and I'll give you the floor if you want to go AFC, NFC, mm-hmm. or both, anyone that has stuck out to you finishing the way that they have in the regular season, that quote-unquote getting hot at the right time, anyone that you would recommend?
You know, in the NFC, San Francisco is still interesting to me, especially if they were to get the one seed, because I think in the NFC, it's almost more important maybe than the AFC to just, it's really important at both conferences, I suppose. But in the NFC, you have some bigger kingpin teams to me at the top, some teams I trust a little bit more, in Seattle and still the LA Rams. I'm not backing off the Rams quite yet. But if San Francisco gets that one seed and just doesn't have the chance of getting tripped up in the wild card, and we're talking about, you know, only having to win a couple of games on your way to the Super Bowl, I think no offense has really looked better than the Niners to me over the last few games. We could talk about the caliber of defenses they faced. We could talk about the caliber of their own defense, which will certainly be tested tomorrow night against Seattle. But, you know, this idea that they could get Fred Warner back at some point in the playoffs, you know, that doesn't necessarily solve your pass rush issue, but I think it goes a long way toward getting that defense just back to a standard level. So San Francisco might be the team that I would look at right now in the NFC. And look, if we are setting the Jaguars aside in the AFC, it's probably Houston to me at 6-1. You know, I think we have more questions about the Houston offense maybe than we do a Trevor Lawrence-led Jaguars offense, which again is an insane sentence to say, but I think Houston probably has the best defense in the field in the AFC. Denver's right there. Jacksonville, the Chargers, maybe they're a slight step below, but we've seen what that Houston defense can do, you know, essentially carrying them to wins over quality offenses, over superior quarterbacks this season. So I think that's still a pretty decent number on Houston, especially given, you know, that they'll likely be the five seed and have what should be a fairly advantageous matchup in the wild card. Although some of those hypothetical lines, some of those look ahead lines, you know, do make Baltimore a favorite in that game.
Well, here's the crazy thing. Three games, obviously, with real implications this weekend, the two tomorrow night here to wrap up the NFC South and certainly the NFC West. And then the Sunday night game with the Ravens, as you mentioned, they're 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 3.5-point favorites. Lamar Jackson is going to be back under center. They're 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. You know what the Steelers number is? 100-1, Nick. I mean, you talk about a marketplace that believes in one team and does not believe in another. And if you don't win this game, Baltimore, you don't go to the playoffs. And yet they're 20-1. Is there fool's gold in that? That, like, all right, Lamar's back, and everything that's hurt them is going to be cured with the Great Eight.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because I intentionally did not mention the Ravens, you know, who are around 10-1 right now to win the AFC. Like, I was so ready to be done with this team. I don't feel like they've earned even the right to be in the position that they're in on Sunday night. I think they are very fortunate that the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to play that game against Cleveland like they did. I still don't really know what the plan was. Offensively, the Marquez Valdes-Scantling raid offense was not enough against the Cleveland Browns. It's so tough because we haven't been able to trust the Ravens all season. Whether Lamar's been out there or not, it feels like he's, you know, when he has played, he's not 100%. The offense looks clunky. They're making mistakes. They're turning it over. They're not running Derrick Henry. And then suddenly, you know, all the things that we've been asking for come around last week against Green Bay without Lamar out there. Can we trust that to continue? You know, to me, the larger sample still suggests that this is an underachieving team. I guess I expect them to beat Pittsburgh at this point, partially because DK Metcalf won't be out there, partially because, you know, what we saw from the Steelers last week, I thought was really, really discouraging. But it would still be very surprising to me, even given the talent, given the preseason expectations for this Ravens team, if they were able to flip the switch. It would be an amazing story. Maybe the AFC, the way it's constructed this year without clear favorites, you know, maybe this would be the year for a team to do that. But I just feel like we have like a 16 game sample of this Ravens team just not looking all that good, not looking like they have it. I would still be pretty surprised if they're able to flip that switch.
Going to be remarkable. I cannot believe that we are here and those numbers. And I don't know who's running to want to get to Acrisure Stadium or have to go to Baltimore to have to beat either of those teams, whether it is the Texans, whether it is the Chargers, the Bills. We'll see where those wildcard teams end up seating wise in the AFC. Let me ask you about the defending champs. So much has transpired about the Eagles, and here they are yet again, just 11-5. They're going to rest the starters. Are we discounting the Eagles by coming back, getting in? It has not been the prettiest of regular seasons. That's an easy statement to make. But are we discounting them right now, getting back in and potentially just three wins for a chance to repeat?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. I think they're appropriately priced right now at 5-1 to win the NFC. You know, I think something that does get lost in this last month and a half where the Eagles have kind of fallen into their yearly malaise is that the defense has continued to play at a really high level. You know, the defense has really not shown any issues. And, you know, there was a stretch of games in there where they didn't have Jalen Carter. They were still playing at a really high level. You know, the offense was so bad that they were still finding ways to lose games, but the defense was keeping them in games where they were, you know, coming out and going 3-and-out on 4 straight possessions every single week. So, I think having Jalen Carter back in the mix, I think it was really smart of Carter, really smart of the Eagles to just do that surgery in season, not try to play through it, you know, not have him at 70% and risk of re-injury the rest of the way. Like having him fully back for the postseason, I think takes that defense to another level. The question is, do you trust the offense? You know, how much stock do you put into a win over the Raiders and a win over Josh Johnson and the Commanders? You know, we're not getting that final tune-up in week 18 with that offense. I do think Philly's doing the right thing, by the way, making sure they go into that matchup at 100%. Mm-hmm. But also interesting to me that they're not making a concerted push for the 2 seed. You know, we'll see. Maybe the Detroit Lions lay down and Chicago wins that game anyway. But to me, I think I would much rather play the Green Bay Packers right now in that 2-7 game than, you know, matching up with one of those NFC West teams in the 3-6.
Speaking of, and I know the Niners are still intriguing to you, the winner take all for the NFC West and that number one seed here in the NFC. Do you think that Seattle should be the point and a half favorite on the road? That still surprises me that this is not a pick 'em.
I think people see, you know, the recency bias perhaps in the San Francisco defense, to be honest, right? I mean, it wasn't just that Bears game in primetime. That defense looked terrible 2 weeks ago against Phillip Rivers, right? You know, that was a game where I thought, all right, you got to run Jonathan Taylor 35 times. You got to shorten the game. And they come out and Phillip Rivers is moving the ball effortlessly on the 49ers defense. Even the Titans a couple of weeks ago, I thought had a really good offensive game by their standards against San Francisco. So to me, I think that's what we're reading into here. There's just not a lot of faith in the Niners defense. But at the same time, we have quite literally seen Sam Darnold in this exact same spot last year against a pretty shaky Detroit Lions defense come out and, you know, have one of the worst games of his career. So I actually think this is a huge prove it spot for Sam Darnold as far as how are we going to feel about him? How are we going to feel about the Seattle Seahawks heading into the playoffs? Like if he comes out and has another dud, obviously Seattle will still be in the mix. We'll still think about that defense. It's going to be really hard, I think, for people to back Sam Darnold in that scenario. But if he comes out and throws for 270 yards and 3 touchdowns and they put up 33 points on the Niners defense, I think this game is going to go a long way toward coloring just how viable we view Seattle as a Super Bowl contender.
And the amazing thing is if Caleb Williams maybe rolls to the right instead of the left on that play as time expires in regulation, they get that touchdown. They've already wrapped up the division, and we don't have these questions about Sam Darnold. Can they win the big one? But here we are with another big one. Nick, Happy New Year, man. We always appreciate your time each and every Friday. We'll catch up again soon. We'll do it in the second season of the NFL for the playoffs starting next week. When we come back, we'll continue going through every game here in the final week of the regular season next with our best bets on VSiN by the Books. We continue VSiN, Bob the Books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Great conversation with Nick Whalen in the last segment. Very excited, obviously, as we turn the page now to 2026. We got big-time golf coming back here. They'll begin it in a couple weeks in Hawaii before we get to California. Then, of course, ultimately make that trip back east to the Florida Swing and getting ready for Augusta in April. I do blame Kelly Bidlin for my infatuation with first-round leader bets. Because, you know, oh, yeah. I think I've hit one of my first ones ever. Like, I had Bryson DeChambeau a couple years ago to be the first-round leader at Augusta, 20-1. It's easy, Jensen. So easy. We're going to have Kelly on to get us a primer for golf season here. And again, shout out to the Long Shots crew. It's a fantastic podcast, people. If you're into betting golf, you got to listen to Long Shots each and every week, wherever you get to those podcasts. It's a fantastic listen. Let's continue with some of our best bets. And we're going through for the final time here, a full regular season slate. Do you think there's some advantages to some of the games that are not the big three, right? The divisional implications of the Bucks and the Panthers and the Niners and Seahawks, excuse me. And of course, on Sunday night with the Ravens and the Steelers, do you look at those other games and say, no, there's still some value in the games that don't have any significant meaning?
Yeah. And we've talked about it most of the week and we'll steer everyone to VSiN.com, especially the week 18 trends here that Steve Mackinnon has, particularly the underdogs. It bears repeating, underdogs against teams that have said they are either resting their starters from the get-go or will not play their starters for the entirety of all four quarters. And again, active in a lot of different spots here. We talked about the Commanders plus 4.5, the Jets plus 7 against the Bills. You can't imagine Sean McDermott's running out. Josh Allen, James Cook does have, you know, that rush title he's going to try and wrap up there. But if he can get big chunks of that against the Jets, then perhalps they call off the dogs there in the second half. I do like the Jets plus 7. I'm probably getting there with them. Also, we'll get there with the Commanders as well. I think in something we didn't get to touch on a bit, Chris Olave for the Saints. This surfaced yesterday, Dave, about the blood clot, and he's not going to be available for Tyler Shuck and the Saints upcoming on Sunday. And that is implications twofold. Number one, they'll know if that game means much more than what it might. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers end up winning tomorrow afternoon, then all of a sudden the Saints and the Falcons game takes on immense importance, that if the Falcons win, then Carolina would be your NFC South champion. It also is the offensive rookie of the year race. And without one of the primary targets here now for Tyler Shuck, how does that affect you? I still think, and we're going to play him in our last week here at Circa Millions, I think I'm still getting to the Saints. I just like overall the way that they've played. They have played for Kellen Moore. They are motivated beyond belief. And even if Carolina ends up winning tomorrow afternoon, I still think you get a great effort from the Saints. I like them getting the points as well.
Tedderola McMillan still the favorite to win offensive rookie of the year, minus $1.40. Tyler Shuck is plus $1.40. Then you get to the long shots, Travion Henderson at 10-1. Don't know how long he'll be in the game. And Jackson Dart at 14-1, last chance against the Cowboys in his rookie campaign. We are in the new year. It's 2026. You can start it off by being a better better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. So you sign up now if you haven't done so already. VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That's daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, of course, covering you through the college football playoff here. We're down to the final four there. NFL playoffs beginning next week, March Madness, and then the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. Going to get Steve Mackinnon's power ratings. It start off the year with an edge. It's a fantastic price. So go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Before we get to our official best bets here, Jensen, a couple other games that I just want to touch upon for the last time here before we sign off. The Chiefs and the Raiders. Now, the Raiders have a 94% chance to get that number one seed and pick, if you will, in the NFL draft. Chiefs, it has not looked good so far with Chris Oladokun. They're going to lay 5.5 here in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Is the full tank in? Because I don't know that Pete Carroll has promised another year. We've seen this in years past. Lovie Smith, last game ever for Houston, they weren't supposed to win it. Lovie didn't get the memo. Won the game. They didn't get the number one pick. They fired Lovie Smith the next day. They got the two pick. that turned into C.J. Stroud. So this has happened in the past, Jensen. I wonder if there's been any memo, any conversation to Pete Carroll about what he's supposed to do as head coach on Sunday.
I don't even think he's giving two thoughts about it. The other ways to say it colorfully, just not here on this fine program. Mm-hmm. I think there is going to be at least an effort here for the Raiders. And for it has not really mattered. Even when the Chiefs are at full strength last couple of years, you know, it's been a thorn in their side. It's been the Raiders. Yeah. When the Raiders have been double digit dogs. I mean, this has been a competitive game and a competitive season series. So I'll take the team at home. We're going to play the Raiders plus 5.5 in millions. I think you do get an inspired effort from Max Crosby and company. This is going to be one at home. If it is indeed it for Pete Carroll, he wants to go out not only the way he wants to. You think that guy wants to stop coaching? No. So he is not going to leave any stone unturned. He is not going to let up at all. I think you find an inspired group here from the Raiders at least to cover the number.
And we're going to have Marty Herney on for a couple segments on Monday, RGM here at the Network for Black Monday. I do wonder about Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. So this is a two-time coach of the year, and he might be coaching for his job if he even wants it still in Cleveland. The Bengals, a nice little wrap-up to the year, and Zach Taylor might be a guy that could be on the hot seat there in Cincinnati. So you look at those things. Did Cleveland, was that their Super Bowl last week against Pittsburgh? We know that Myles Garrett wants to get the sack record, of course. How do you handicap this last go-around? And you live in Cincinnati, you don't live in Cleveland, Sam Weish, back in the day. There's not a lot of love lost between these two cities and these two teams.
None whatsoever. Let me clarify real quickly. Max Crosby on IR, so he will inspire his group from the sidelines. Not in pads, but definitely believe that he's going to motivate the troops. Motivation is probably the thing that I'm interested in here in Northeast Ohio. A lot of groundswell here about the future of Kevin Stefanski. What will that look like? Is Shador Sanders the answer moving forward? I don't know, man. I know I'm wearing my orange here, but it has been really hard to support these guys throughout this season. It has been a real, real tough season on a lot of different ways. The motivation for Cleveland, Dave, is going to be getting Myles Garrett the season, a single season sack record. And make no bones about it, he is going to do everything in his power to get to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow and that line for the Bengals is very aware of what the MO is here for the Browns defense. As far as 7.5, oh my goodness. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can get there. What I think you could do, maybe a shot on the over. Maybe. Otherwise, this is probably a full stay away from me. I don't know what to expect from Shador Sanders and company week in and week out. So all we're looking for here in Cleveland, let's get Miles across the line to make some history, and then we'll see where the chips fall on Sunday night.
Just to make sure we touch on every single game for the final time here in the regular season, it's I like to call it a friends and family game only here in Minnesota. Max Brosmer against Clayton Toon. He's going to be the starting quarterbacks for the Packers and the Vikings. Jensen, what do you do with a number like this? Packers getting 7.5 and a game that, I mean, it can move some things around the wild card, but obviously the Vikings, they'd like to finish with a winning record. Win totals are in play here. They have played hard, but I don't know. Max Brosmer, you want to lay 7.5 here with the Vikings?
Yes. Yes. Let's do it. And you know what? Why not lay an alternate minus 9.5?
Oh my god.
Max
goodness.
Brosmer and the Vikings. Let's go. Just absolutely stamp out. Anyhow, what do you look at here? What's the one ingredient on the field on Sunday that has been consistent? It's been the Vikings defense. Vikings defense has been good. If Clayton Toon covers against me, then so be it. But I don't see it. I think the Vikings play inspired. I think KOC has this group ready to go. Green Bay wants to get out healthy, at least of some of the guys that are going to be in there that might need to be ready at a moment's notice in that wild card round. So, yeah, I like the Vikings laying the points here for sure.
All right, before we turn it over to Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin on a numbers game, you do have one play in pocket here. VSiN Pro subscribers have access to it. A bowl game that you've got your eye on, Arizona and SMU. What are you playing here?
I said it before. Arizona plus 1.5. They have already jumped. So I'm glad I got it in. They're already jumped to a 1.5 favorite. You can still find 51.5s out there, both at DraftKings and at Circa, like the over 51.5. Looking to bounce back. It was a tough sledding last night. We don't hide from wins and losses. Let's bounce back today in what could be, Dave, the final slate of meaningless bowls before expansion starts to come, maybe as early as next year. We'll see.
It's coming, people. We know it's coming. All right, Jensen, great stuff. Can't wait to do it on Monday for Black Monday here. And again, I'm going to be on a little bit later on this afternoon here on Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Stormy Bonatoni is going to be right in this chair here in the great state or the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And again, a numbers game. If you want more VEASAN, you got it right there. VEASAN Watch app, VEASAN.com. Gil and Kelly, they're coming up next.